exclusive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Oh my gosh, can you believe this? Tonight, you and I are going to talk about the danger of early withdrawal. Plus, Rush from Heaven was Kamala in Butler, Pennsylvania that day. Robert Kennedy Jr. has the coolest wife. And all of this is just, I can't handle it. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right.
We're guys. We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the bird man. In case he comes to town.
What?
So he won't take me down to his lair deep under the mountain.
What are you talking about?
Underground, that's where he keeps his dirt.
Because we're on so many 50,000 watt clear channel stations, we reach the heavens. Unlike cute little silly stations, we are actually able to be in touch with people who have left us and gone to yet another station. Rush in heaven. Rush in heaven. Rush, how are you feeling tonight? How is heaven treating you?
Well, Walter, heaven is treating me well. I hope you're well as well. Let me try that once again. But heaven is treating me quite well, my friend. How are you?
Well, we miss you, Rush. There are thousands of talk show hosts, unlike me, who have no idea what to talk about now. They used to listen to your show and steal the agenda from you. How did you feel about that?
My friends, imitation is the highest form of flattery. And I know that one of your people like to imitate me, so I consider that an honor. So everybody who's trying to imitate me, my friends, have at it. But I know why you are trying to get a hold of me. You want to get my opinion on this whole Biden dropping out thing.
Thank you for moving my show along. Yes. How do you feel about this Biden dropping out thing?
Well, let me explain this to you as only I can. And don't forget to buy my book, I'm Right, You're Wrong, Deal With It. But we all knew that Biden is a skull full of mush, like many people. And you knew he was going to drop out. Now, what will happen next, I have no idea. But do not doubt me when I tell you that Hillary and Bill Clinton are working the puppet strings. Obama is not, my friends. Bill and Hillary are working the puppet strings. Do not doubt me. And if this happens, they will tag Bill or Hillary in, my friend.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I kind of wish I was still alive to talk about it, because if Bill Clinton or Hillary win the presidency, can you imagine the ratings for my show? People will listen all day for me to talk about Bill and Hillary. Because I made my career out of talking about Bill and Hillary Clinton, my friend.
Well, it was a spectacular career. God bless Mike Lindell. He's still on Earth doing your godlike work. Any final thoughts, comments, suggestions for me, Walter Sterling?
Well, my friend, I have only a few suggestions. One, listen to Sterling every damn night and Sterling on Sunday. Walter is a talent that you must listen to. He does not talk about politics, my friends, but he talks about the things that he is passionate about and does a great job. And don't forget to check out Lesbians in Space. Many things about WFIL and just the overall business of radio in general, my friends. He has got a great insight.
There's Rush in Heaven. I'll let you get back to having your moment when you return your talent to Jesus Christ.
Exactly, my friend. Walter, it is always an honor to speak to you, my friend. Have a great show.
Thank you, Rush in Heaven. Rush in Heaven. Well, I shaved for you, and I'm ready to deal with you. I'm going to give you a phone number. I hope you call. The reason I do this show is because, well, two things. One, it gets me out of housework. If as long as I can say, well, you know, right now I have to prepare my show, then no one's going to bother me. It sort of takes on a sacred tone, things that Daddy must do. He must work on his show. They have no idea what that entails. And what's even more bizarre, they've never asked me, how do you prepare your show? Which is good, because it would be exhausting. But with the news that came out today, I'd love to hear your reaction. My reaction is this: who the hell cares? Because whoever I was going to vote for before, I'm still going to vote for. If you were going to vote for the Democrats, you're still going to vote for the Democrats. And if you were going to vote for the Republicans, you're still going to vote for the... I really don't think it's going to change much. Which has always been my problem with stations that spend their whole lives talking about, you know, the evil Democrats, is because there's no new information. There are only two answers, Republican, Democrat, nothing new, nothing fun. I don't get it. I've never gotten it. But today is a golden day. In fact, can you imagine, Andrew, can you imagine what it was like today? When that news came out, can you imagine what it was like in the Fox News newsroom? Okay. I'm so glad we were there.
Yes. Hallelujah!
Where can I jump out? Where can I jump out? Fox News newsroom, when the news came down. Okay, you can take off that feed now. But that's what it's like inside the Fox News newsroom. Yes, from now on, I will push the buttons myself. It just, I don't know. Why did I even think I could do that?
Stand on Sunday and every day of life.
All right, it's about a quarter past the hour with Walter M. Sterling. We're going to have many people who have no expertise in this subject. But you and I will cover the conversation about the challenges and the problems with early withdrawal, demonstrated today by our so-called president, and the challenges of early withdrawal. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Junk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. Cucumber salad and garden tomato sandwiches, the food of summer coming out of the garden.
And it only cost us about $7,000 in gardening supplies.
Coming up, Sterling at night.
Chimichanga or cocaine? Strippers on loose later, Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTokers.
Bro, science is so fake because they say that the sun is the hottest thing in the world, but they clearly haven't seen you. What? You're hot. I mean, hotter than the sun. I think we should kiss about that.
Lesbians. In space. In space.
What is a pirate's favorite letter in the alphabet? You'd think it'd be the R. R, but it's actually the C. The ocean, the sea. Thank you.
Stand on Sunday and every day of life.
There's James Copeland, great friend and fan of the show, did massive amounts of production for the show, set the standard, the high bar of how to produce this show. And he will be with us at 10:35 with an amazing and powerful and important message. Right now, let's you and I talk to an old man from Ohio. Because if you notice that on official, very serious news shows, you know, serious, they always go to an old man in the Midwest for real reaction to the events of the day. Real reaction. Now, here's an old man from Ohio, a suburb of Cincinnati, I believe. You in a suburb of Cincinnati?
That's right. Yes. My name is Stu.
Stu,
and I live just outside of Cincinnati.
And you've lived there all your life, I assume, because everybody in Ohio has lived there all their life. Nobody moves there.
Oh, absolutely. No one ever leaves Ohio, and especially here in southwest Ohio.
And was everybody a flutter today? Everybody very excited when President Biden did the obvious thing without actually admitting he has Parkinson's? Was everybody excited?
Well, I think everybody was waiting and wondering when and if it was going to happen, and it finally did. But, Walter, I'll tell you, out here, big news stories like that, we're more concerned about the way it affects the price of corn and soybeans.
Are you a soybean farmer or a corn farmer?
Well, I alternate my crops. I do corn one year and soybeans the next. It's better for the soil, you know.
This year, which is it?
This year is corn. I just had a good feeling about corn this year.
Now, you and I are talking to an old man in Ohio outside of Cincinnati, in the suburbs of Cincinnati, in the farm areas outside Cincinnati, and he's affected in a way that most of us are not. You and I are affected by the price of gas, a gallon of milk, but he's planting crops, and everything impacts the price of planting crops. What is the single biggest expense that you have planting crops?
Well, of course, you know, the seed isn't cheap. But certainly the fuel for the tractors and the various pieces of equipment I use to harvest and so forth. And, of course, it's also affected by weather. And we're looking out here right now for larger than normal conditions for the next couple of weeks in the Corn Belt and in the Great Lakes.
Do you surf on the Great Lakes? Do you ever actually go to the Great Lakes in Ohio?
Well, I got up to Lake Erie one time and took a boat over to Put-in-Bay, I think is the name of the island.
Did you fish?
Anyway, that's one time.
Yeah.
Did you fish? No. I was with my wife. She just wanted to visit the shops. But they looked like the same stores we got down here.
Take us through a farmer's day in a rural area of Ohio. Take us through your day. What hour do you wake up? How does the day go in Ohio? How will this Biden dropout, this early withdrawal, how will this affect you?
Well, we are always up bright and early. A lot of the guys have cows and so forth, and they need to be out and milking those. But in the meantime, I need to get out and start checking the crops, seeing if the ears are starting to come in. And that's early in the day before it gets too hot.
Now, I'm compelled to ask you, do you have crop circles? Have crop circles affected your soybean or corn crops?
Well, occasionally, if one of the neighbor's cows gets loose, he'll crawl through the corn and sort of make a circle. Sometimes it's more like a rectangle or a star or something, not exactly a circle.
Obviously, that's due to UFOs and not a cow. Is that right?
Well, that's what I hear. That fella you get on once in a while, that Dave Scott up in Canada, he seems to think everything's related to the UFOs. I don't know. I ain't never seen one.
How will your crop be this year? The final question. Do you think that Trump as president is going to get you more money, or this Kamala Harris person? Who do you think is going to get you more money on the farm, down the farm?
Well, you know, everybody has their own ideas about agriculture policy. We're just looking to make sure we got plenty of markets and we can export the corn and get a good price, you know, and whoever can do that is going to get my vote for sure.
When you eat apple pie in the Midwest in the suburb of Cincinnati, do you have a big chunk of cheddar cheese on it, or do you eat it straight?
Oh, I prefer it straight. I don't want to dilute my pie. Pie is too good by itself to muff up the flavor, you know.
Now, old man in Cincinnati, what you just said, that last thing you just said, I think I'm going to ask you for permission to take that out of the show and use it in promotional announcements. Would that be all right with you?
Oh, heck, I don't care. Do whatever you want with it.
Do you have a graveyard next to your home the way a lot of farms do, or do you take that to the church?
Well, we usually take all of our folks down to the church for burial. It's a nice little fenced-in area next to the main sanctuary there, just outside. You can see it while the preacher's up there talking, and you can look out and see Aunt May's grave. It's kind of nice.
We'll say a prayer for Aunt May. Thank you, old man in Cincinnati. Thank you, old man in Ohio. It's the sort of thing that I get a lot of pressure when I do Sterling every week and Sterling every night. Oh, my God, a lot of pressure to, well, you know, you should incorporate a little more political talk in your show to blend in. No, no, the whole purpose of the show is it doesn't blend in.
Stand on Sunday and every day of life.
Did you realize that Jennifer Lopez is 55 years old? She's 55 years old. And she's incredibly unpleasant. This is exactly what she said when she was at a private fitting for a dress. And they brought it out and they showed it to Jennifer Lopez.
This is not what I want. This is just looks like a dead chicken.
Can you imagine having to try to make her happy? Ben, what were you thinking? Or were you drunk? What the hell were you thinking, Mr. Affleck, with all of his money and all the movies he did and all the success he's had on screen? That man's had no success off screen. He had, he has what, 2-3 kids, lovely kids by his real wife, Jennifer Garner. And then he goes screwing around with this nonsense.
This is not what I want. This is just looks like a dead chicken.
I think that's what she was saying to his penis. I think that's what that was about. All right, let's you and I talk. You ready? It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Your feelings. I'd like your feelings about what happened today. What I feel is that I was defrauded in that this man was never well. He was never well, and that's why he didn't stand up during the first campaign, the last campaign. He never got. Not only was he always behind a desk in his basement, it was a dark basement. There was a lot that they didn't want us to see, a lot. But let's you and I talk. 888-688-9258.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know.
Every damn night.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night.
Rest of democracy. I'm saying, what the hell did I do for democracy? Last week, I took a bullet for democracy. What did I do against democracy? Crazy.
James Copeland is the morning star of Coffeyville, Kansas. And he has his his grubby paws on the pulse of the agricultural community of the great Midwest. James Copeland, thank you for airing Sterling on Sunday on your giant radio station. Thank you for being our friend. What is your perspective? What is the special perspective that you may have about Biden dropping out?
Yes, Walter. Well, always great to be along. And yes, it's always interesting to hear how these things play out. And of course, we'll be watching the markets closely because for some reason, you know, everyone's always trying to guess why the markets are doing things. And I think it's probably just witchcraft. But either way, we always try to relate whatever the markets are doing, agricultural otherwise. But typically, for whatever reason, it always relates back to like Venezuelan oil, which I really don't understand. But that seems to be their usual culprit. It's something far overseas that no one understands.
What about soybean futures?
Oh, soybean futures. Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. We actually play the futures at 9, going into the 10 o'clock hour on KGGF. And you know, I've actually had a lot of calls here because I don't know if it made many ripples in the national trade magazines, but did you hear anything about the radio station in Northwest Arkansas that recently shut down and just pulled the plug?
Please give me the details of this.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This is KURM Radio, K-U-R-M, and it's actually owned by, speaking of politics, Steve Womack. He's a sitting U.S. Congressman from Arkansas. He's the father owned it, the KURM, and then the son helped get the thing off the ground in 1979. Well, Kermit recently had some health problems, and they decided with the 2 weeks' notice, they just shut the whole station down. And this wasn't one of your just, you know, jukebox stations that does absolutely nothing for the community. This was one of a very involved, they called themselves, their format was a community involvement radio station. And it's really a big loss to the community, but it's kind of shocking to a lot of people that it just went away so suddenly. So we're actually at the Mighty 690 getting a lot of listeners now who are calling me saying that they've been searching the dial aimlessly and they've come upon our radio station. So I'm always glad to welcome them in. But it's been, unfortunately, I don't know if it's really made the national trades much, but it's a big deal for our neck of the woods.
James Copeland is the morning star of KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas, a radio station that clears Sterling on Sunday proudly. Now, you think you're going to get listeners from this station that signed off the air without notice. Can you imagine the shock if they find this show? If this is the first thing they find on your station is this show? I'm going to bring you back to center so that you're in a safe space. What about corn futures?
It would be very shocking to be able to find this program. The corn futures now, you know, the corn is going up quite dramatically. And in fact, it's almost into the territory here of getting ready to be harvested. So we're very excited for all of that.
Now, do you find that the agricultural community is embracing the millions of people running across the border because they can hire them for food? They can give them food and hire them? Do you think that's the purpose of why the border was opened up, to enable people to big companies and agribusiness to hire people for in exchange for meals?
You know, the big thing is, in fact, a lot of people in Kansas and the surrounding area they're always looking for us to work and actually people who will do those jobs. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of people have been promoting that as a path to get workers. And so a lot of, interestingly enough, your farmers are okay with getting people who want to come and work. They want to, now for people who want to do other things, well, that's not necessarily quite as popular, of course. But I do have one more question for you, Walter, too, on a completely different topic, because I know we go all over the place sometimes.
Oh, please, go ahead. It's your show.
Yes. Have you seen the Fly Me to the Moon movie? Because I just saw it.
I can't wait to see Scarlett Johansson. Is she nude in that movie?
You know, there's no nudity, which is somewhat surprising. There's none. I know. It's always disappointing. But I just thought at the crumbling Bartlesville movie theater that you actually sit down in the seats and you go to the floor immediately on some of them. You never know. It's kind of like roulette. You never know which one is going to go out. It was kind of fun.
It must have that interesting aroma of old movie theaters.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's in this mall that they actually have, like, tape across it. They don't let you walk around much inside it anymore. It's very odd. But no, it was I would highly recommend if you want some more fiction than truth, probably. But it all set against the NASA backdrop. It's a lot of fun.
What's the theme of the movie? What is the key plot point of the movie without giving anything away?
You know, the best part is they talk extensively about whether or not the moon landing was faked. And that's actually a central plot in the movie, which is the best part of it. I mean, it's hilarious because I think some of the owners here, even of this radio station, joke with me that the moon landing was fake.
Well, that's very interesting that they made a movie that took place at that moment in time, and there was speculation even then that it was fake. That's a fun movie. And Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It is absolutely a hoot, so I would definitely recommend it if you want to see that. But, no, we will be definitely following the of course, commodity prices and up-to-the-minute coverage.
Up-to-the-minute coverage on KGGF. You're on the station 18 hours a day. Isn't that right, James?
Pretty much. And in fact, I've been working here 7 days a week because we have been adding in some. I know we're not supposed to call them board ops anymore. Studio producers.
Sound producers.
Sound shapers.
Yeah.
So we've been. I actually trained two of them this morning, and they're delightful. A real exciting to be able to have a few new faces here at the radio station. And I will tell you, because this is live radio, and I will give you the latest markets. Would you like that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
The heart of
agriculture. Here we go.
From the heart. Let me set you up. From the heart of agriculture in America. Here are the latest prices.
I'm James Copeland with your closing cash grain market report for Friday, July 19th, from the Bartlett Co-op. Corn is unchanged at 366 with a new crop price of 375. Hard wheat is up 7 pennies at 515. Milo is unchanged at 324. Oats is unchanged at $3 even. Soft wheat is up 8 cents at 473. And soybeans are down 2 pennies at 1047. That's your closing cash grain market report from the Bartlett Co-op.
KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas. The great James Copeland, thank you for giving us your unique perspective on Sterling every damn night. I'm Walter M. Sterling. My gosh, you're lucky. It's about 45 past the hour, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Junk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. Cucumber salad and garden tomato sandwiches. The food of summer coming out of the garden.
And it only cost us about $7,000 in gardening supplies.
Coming up, Sterling at night.
Chimichanga or cocaine? Strippers on loose later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Senator Josh Hawley.
You're under investigation for falsifying 787 inspection records. The Boeing's under criminal investigation for the Alaska Airlines flight. You were investigated by DOJ for criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA. This is all in your tenure. This doesn't sound like a lot of transparency to me.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
With Walter Sterling to tell you about life with our 8 kids in our old house and the garden is producing. So it's cucumber and onion salad. You did a great job with it.
Thank you.
The definitive Aunt Bonnie recipe.
Which is pretty simple. It's just, you know, a huge bowl of cucumbers, a cup of sugar, cup of vinegar, 2 cups of water, and then you just put as much salt and pepper on it as you want.
The best way to make it. Also, I grew up on this, and I'm hooked on the sandwiches, like toasted tomato sandwiches with butter.
Yeah, which aren't exactly my favorite. I think the thing that weirds me out most about those is the butter and mayo combo that some people put on their tomato sandwiches. Just a big red slimy tomato and slimy mayo, but you love them.
And how much money is this saving us, dear?
Okay, well, you know, none. Because honestly, I got 4 cucumbers out of our garden so far this year. We are getting tomatoes, not as many as I would like. We don't have a lot of sun. And I think if we spent about $10,000 to have some trees taken down, we could produce more. So next year, the garden could cost us like $15,000 and we could get 6 cucumbers.
Instead of 7,000.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my guess with all of the dirt that you have to haul in and my raised garden beds and the water that we pay for that I'm slapping on those plants every day. I mean, you know, who doesn't want to feed their family out of their own backyard? People who like to save money, I guess.
But I have to say, I'm actually enjoying it. You did make salsa from the few peppers and the few tomatoes we had.
Well, I will say that we, comparatively speaking, I have a lot more plants. Like, I would think that my tomatoes would be producing more. But again, we don't have that much sun. So I have to go kind of crazy with the amount of plants that we have to get a few peppers and a few tomatoes. We don't do too badly, but we could sure use more.
Well, we have friends who are much better gardeners, and they sneaking cucumbers our way.
No, much better gardeners? I think the issue is the trees, dear. I'm a darn good gardener. I'm growing everything out there.
Didn't mean to insult your gardening.
Okay, well, don't call it our garden when we have friends who are much better gardeners. If you got your little tail out there maybe with a hoe in the afternoon and help me weed something, maybe we'd do a little bit better.
So, that's how my summer's going. Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
The cucumber salad recipe also on the Dan Gaffney Show Facebook page.
Along with his gardening tips.
Dan and Becky, Sterling at Night.
Sterling on Sunday and every dinner.
The legendary Gary Arnell, notorious for his patience. Thank you for joining me tonight on Sterling on Sunday, which is the adjunct to Sterling Every Damn Night. It's an honor to have you on, one of the greatest talk show hosts in the history of Philadelphia and New York City, only broadcasting on 50,000-watt clear channel stations. Gary, how do you feel about the president dropping out today? How do you feel?
Well, let me say that I think that I saw a post that you had up earlier on Facebook, and I think that you had the most effective and efficient way for Kamala Harris, if you were advising her to win this election, and that was get Taylor Swift to come out with an endorsement, get those millions and millions of fans to vote for them, and that would really be the end of it. I think, Walter, that this was a brilliant move on the part of the Democrats. Now, aside from reminding Joe Biden tomorrow as he's getting dressed up to head out to a campaign rally that, no, Joe, you're not in this anymore. It was brilliant. First of all, Walter, all the money that has been raised, I think they had $96 million at the end of June in the Biden-Harris till, that's going to go right to her. Second of all, the donor money is popping already tonight. It was basically dry. It was running dry, and now it's back up, and it's running. They've called some of the donors, some of them because of the legal end of this thing, Walter, and the way the money is going to be funneled. They might be able to contribute again to Kamala Harris's campaign, even though election rules would have prevented that if it had stayed in Biden-Harris. And then she's got the infrastructure in place, Walter. Biden has one of the best ground games, and this is not endorsing Biden. I'm just talking from a political consultant standpoint in the entire country. He's got one of the best ground games, and now she's going to inherit that. My other piece of advice for the Democrats is stop all of this chit-chat about, well, maybe we'll do an open primary for the next couple of weeks, and we'll let it go to an open convention. Worst thing they could do, what are they going to bring in, Buttigieg or Whitmer, Newsom, Pritzker? Whitmer and Newsom already said they had no desire to run as a VP.
Well,
whether or not they would, yeah, I mean, it's just insane. Yeah, do it and get it over with, yeah.
Right. Let me ask you a technical question,
yeah,
which hasn't been asked by anybody.
Yeah.
If she makes Hillary her vice president,
yes,
she could win. But here's the technical question. Can Barack Obama run as vice president?
I believe that he would not be able to, only because if something happened to Kamala, he would be put into the presidency role, and he's already constitutionally served the two-term max.
And the other question is,
he is thinking about it, but no, the answer is no.
What about this rumor that Kamala attended the Trump rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, to see how a rally worked in disguise?
I think she was only there to check out the maxi pad angle on this whole thing. She's thinking, if he bows out of the race, Biden, which now he has done, and somehow, and by the way, I think this whole business with the bandage on the ear, I think he had a small bandage, then they went to this maxi pad for the photo op and all of that. Kamala Harris went there just to see, what's the reception like for the maxi pads? Should I get injured during one of my campaign rallies, maybe put a little bandage up on my ear and say, look what I'm sacrificing for America? No rumor to the fact that she was there, but nothing to that.
Gary,
but I do think, yeah.
Gary Arnell is on 1210 WPHT every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and we look forward to listening to you. Thank you, Gary.
Walter, thank you, sir.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a big night. You know, talk radio stations across the country, they're all aflutter. What are we going to do in the morning? Oh, my gosh, we finally have something to talk about besides yelling at the Democrats. What are they going to do? I don't know. It's insane. And now, Dr. Dave and the weather.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know.
Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night.
All right, good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Night. And look at this. An actual broadcaster has agreed to share this time with us. There's Amy Marks Kors from KMOX in St. Louis, the radio station that has carried Sterling every night since we went on the air, which has got to be, what, 6 years ago? I've been doing this for 10 years. I've learned absolutely nothing. Amy, I think the most important question I have for you tonight is one that you ask every day when you go to work. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Amy, you can thank Steve Moore. I asked who was the best talent on KMOX, and your name came up instantly.
That's an honor, unless he got to me last and it was just, you know, the last in the bottom of the barrel. But I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the compliment.
Now, Amy Marks Kors started on KMOX with the legendary Charlie Brennan. Well, that's a big deal, because Charlie was a better broadcaster than the rest of us, and you could not have learned better. But listen, the question that everybody asks, Amy, She's the star of the Chris and Amy show, which is on from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time in St. Louis, although they don't know it's Central Time. It's just their time from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Chris and Amy show. But the obvious question is, why the hell isn't it the Amy and Chris show?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. I think so. What Steve Moore told me is that for our first names, it sounds better, the Chris and Amy show. And we have horrible last names for radio, Mark Scores and Ranji. So if it were last names, I'd go first. But since our last names are just impossible to spell, we went with the first names.
Now, Amy's a big deal author. You know, you and I have never written anything other than the laundry list. Amy's actually written a great book. She's written a book called Powered by Hope. And it's an incredible book that she put together. And she's a real runner. Now, the thing that you must have noticed when you got to KMOX is that you were the only runner in the building and everybody else was fat and wearing Sanibel pants. Did you notice that instantly?
Can I plead the fifth? Hey, Charlie has, I think back in the day when he was on radio in Boston, I think he jumped into the Boston Marathon.
Was he drunk and got lost?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. No, I think he did. I think they used to encourage banditing in the Boston Marathon. And so he did it a few times there. But I appreciate the kind words. Usually I'm made fun of for running. Everyone's like, ugh, stop talking about it.
Well, that's because they don't. That's because all they know how to do is order out. That's what they do. And they're in radio. The fastest way to get a free plug on the radio is to bring food to the radio station. The primary diet of most people on the air is, oh, look at this. They brought us pizza. Oh, look at this. They brought us brownies and donuts. Oh, my gosh, what a great bakery you have. Meanwhile, all you have to do is get in there with the food. They'll plug the heck out of you. But that must mean that you have great restraint when you're on the air, that you don't partake because you're a runner.
Well, great. So I think that's the thing. I'm always hungry. They give me a lot of trouble for that, too. I'm always hungry. I am a huge fan of cake and pizza as well. So I will say some of the free food and radio has kept me alive a day or two. So not all of the food, but a lot of it I'll eat. I mean, I love cake. Cake is the way to my heart for sure.
Amy, what is your impression? What are your feelings? What are you going to confront tomorrow on the big KMOX when the discussion turns around to the inevitable conversation about President Biden finally giving in to his Parkinson's?
Well, you know, it's a lot to take in because it is an extraordinary moment, a historic moment. You have an incumbent president stepping down post-primary weeks before the Democratic National Convention. And I think I've seen, you know, some of the talking heads watching that over the course of the evening. And people are already saying that it's, you know, a very courageous or patriotic or selfless thing to do. And I do think because we have such a short memory, that time will make heroes out of even coerced actions. And so I do think that right now people are hailing it as a patriotic thing to do. And maybe you can make that argument, but man, it just took so long and his condition declined so rapidly, so objectively, so demonstrably, we all watched it in real time that you kind of feel like it's less about him stepping down and just him, his administration, even, you know, even some people in the media, although they stepped up before Democratic leaders there.
You are in the media. You.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. And that's why, like, I think recently they've done some of the more, like, the cable news have done a good job of documenting it. But it did feel like we were being gaslit, you know, about his condition. So I would say instead of this being a moment of leadership for Biden, I think the leaders of the Democratic Party were behind the voters in assessing his condition, and Biden was trailing behind the Democratic leaders in assessing it. And so I want to praise him for getting on the bus, but I kind of feel a little frustrated that he was the last one on the bus, because we have seen throughout his five decades of service to America that he is at times very empathetic, the sympathetic Biden, and other times just obstinate. And I think this, the past couple of weeks have been his obstinance, even pushing back against leaders in the party. So I think it was time, but it's very late for the Democratic Party. If he had done this months ago, I think they could have had a lot more momentum.
I don't know exactly how he's going to get on the bus. Have you seen him try to walk upstairs?
Yeah, I have, but that's the thing. The guy has been serving his country, but, you know, love him or hate him, he's been a public servant for 5 decades, and he's in real danger of those images of him stumbling through the debate, stumbling on the stairs, being his legacy. And to me, that was a failure of the people around him.
Amy Mark Scores is a host from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KMOX in St. Louis, one of those radio stations that causes a heart flutter among radio people. You say, well, you know, I'm on KMOX, and they suddenly think I'm legit. Meanwhile, they don't know that it was a cram down from corporate. And yet I'm still on, even after all the cram downers left. So I guess Steve Moore thinks it's okay, even though now he delays me after freaking Meet the Press. Are you out of your mind? Why the hell would anybody air Meet the Press, a TV show with bad audio that says things like, let's look at this chart? What? Why would you put that on the radio? Are you out of your mind? Look at those clouds. No, no, no. It's radio. I digress. The interesting fact is about President Biden's condition is that it is clear to anybody who knows anything about the disease that he has Parkinson's. And one of the symptoms of Parkinson's, never discussed in the first phase of Parkinson's, number one is denial. People who have Parkinson's are the last to admit it. They do everything they can to say it's not true, and then they take the medication and the symptoms are minimized and they can get away with it. Alan Alda has Parkinson's. It took him 3 years to admit it. 3 years to make a public statement. And now he's an advocate, writes articles. He's terrific. The other thing about Parkinson's is symptom number two, remember what I'm about to say, is you can't walk downstairs. That's the hardest thing to do, is you deny that it exists, and then the number one physical symptom isn't shaking. Most Parkinson's don't get shaking. They can't walk downstairs. But, and then, phase number two is you freeze. Phase number two is you can't talk. You stop talking. Your body freezes. So he's well into phase number two. I wish this on no one. But part of the reason he couldn't quit is he couldn't admit it to himself. It's part of the disease. Now,
well, you're diagnosing him like with Parkinson's? I only say that because I'm not diagnosing him, but what I... You know, I mean, him not admitting things, he's been doing that for 50 years. But then also, I mean, I think all of us have had elder relatives or close friends who've had Parkinson's or different forms of Alzheimer's. And so I wouldn't want to put a name to it. I mean, I personally wouldn't. I see a mental decline that very close relationship with someone who had a type of Alzheimer's or dementia. And it was also very, very similar. So, and then also, an older age, enormous amount of stress. Couldn't it be any of those things?
Well, clearly I'm not a doctor. I'm barely a radio host. what I've mentioned before, and I'll just mention to you in 10 seconds, is I'm the strangest of people you'll ever talk to about this because I had Parkinson's for 18 months and I don't. And the reason that I don't is it wasn't Parkinson's. It was Parkinsonism, which is all the symptoms, but not the disease. It was the side effect of a pharmaceutical medicine. It was the side effect of a prescribed drug. And when you stop taking the drug, all the symptoms go away. Therefore, anybody who has it reads up everything about it. You know, like with acne, you read everything about it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, he has Parkinson's. And I don't wish it on anyone, but his denial was part of the condition. Now, changing the subject, Amy, on KMOX from 10A to 2P, what else do you talk about on your show? Why should we listen this week?
Well, other than the fact that I think we're delightful, we will do, I mean, politics, obviously. You talk about politics, you talk about the news, but you also, my co-host and I are on different ends of the political spectrum, but we were friends before the show. We're still friends during it. And so life is bizarre, all sorts of crazy things that happen. We talk a lot of sports, obviously home of the St. Louis Cardinals, so we talk about the Cardinals a lot. The crazy things that happen in life and the city and communities. And I think I think radio is very personal. It's an intimate medium. So it's like hanging out with friends, talking about what you would talk about with your friends.
Exactly. This is Amy Mark Scores. She's a runner, an author, a brilliant talk show host, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KMOX in St. Louis. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. I have now done my corporate duty and promoted the sacred app because Lord knows they're not going to invest in radio. Only Wall Street's interested in apps, and we've done our job. I have heard your show. I've heard it many times. I think you're great. I think it's funny and light and the way radio is supposed to be, and I think your name should be first.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll tell Steve tomorrow. Maybe I'll text him now.
All right. Thanks very much for being on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Junk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Chimichanga or cocaine? Strippers on the loose later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Lesbians.
I identify as a lesbian, black, female, and some people might call me a little bit masculine. With your philosophy, tell me, what does my life look like through your eyes?
I don't have any foregone conclusions about you because I don't know you. And I think that's really important. A lot of people will try to pigeonhole you because of your identity. They will say, okay, well, you just said that you were lesbian and that you were black, and that's what I was talking about. So that means that you must support transgenderism because we added the letter onto the flag. That's wrong.
Okay, thanks for the warning. It's 25 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night. And I love Rebecca Kanner, Rosemary Furlong, Neil Paul, Judy Paul. These are the Midnight Misfits, the Datz family, who I haven't heard from. I just keep saying the Datz family, and magically we might hear from them at some point. Right? Right. Gary S., thank you very much. Leonard, I appreciate your friendship, Mr. Leonard. Thank you very much. These are the Midnight Misfits. We have a secret club. And finally, you get to be in a club because no country club wants you. I mean, look at you. You're wearing that again? Why are you wearing that? Isn't that the stupidest thing mothers say to their daughters? The stupidest thing mothers say to their daughters. Absolutely inexcusable. They say, are you wearing that? Are you wearing that? Meanwhile, if the kid had said, hey, Mom, would you put together an outfit for me? Would you lay it out for me? Would you iron it for me? No, I'm too busy. And then she puts on what she wants, the kid, and the mother goes, are you wearing that? The worst thing a woman can say to their daughter to crush their confidence before they walk out the door, to erode every ounce of self-confidence before they go out the door, to school, to their friends, to a party, to shopping, they'll say, are you wearing that? That is the worst thing that a mother can say. And they all do it. I swear they all do it. And I don't know why. I don't know why they ever learn. I don't, you know, this crap about, you know, women power, girl power, and then who hurts it most? The moms. Who hurts it most? The mothers. They're the ones who screw up those kids more than anybody. not, you know, the school, you know, the school doesn't believe in DEI. They're, you know, they're stacking our children. They're what do they call it? Anyway, when they put kids in different grades and different sections, I forget what they call it. That doesn't screw up kids. Nothing comes close to screwing up a kid like mom saying, "Are you wearing that?" Or worse, "Let me do your hair." No, no, I'm sorry. Those are not ways to inspire confidence in the child. The way to inspire confidence in a daughter is for the mother to say, "You are so smart and you are so gorgeous. You look fantastic." Because the minute you start telling somebody that they look fantastic, they will start looking in the mirror to see how fantastic they look. And all on their own, they will work to look more fantastic because they already own it. They already own it. That's what you do. This is the result of having been a manager for a zillion years. Before I was a talk show host and one of the great talk show hosts of our time, before I was a talk show host, I was a suit. I wore wingtip shoes, a navy blue suit, white crisp shirt, and a red tie, which is what you're supposed to wear if you want to be the CEO. If you want to be the schlub who everybody invites to the bar because they know you're going to pay, because they know that's the only way you think you can have friends, fine. Dress any way you want. The ones who are successful are the ones who come to work dressed as though they own the place, dressed as though they're about to meet the biggest client that the station, the business, the store, the salon has. You're selling ice cream. You dress up. I've been in Uber cars, paid for by others, I promise you, where this guy has flowers and magazines and he's done it upright. He makes the most money. Sterling every damn
day. 10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night. Every damn night. Yeah, that's right.
It's a live radio show. Can you believe that? Look at the clock. Look at the day of the week. It's a live radio show. In my youth, which wasn't long ago, radio was alive and bountiful and exploding on the weekends. The weekends used to be the best part. No, really. And I am the only one, it seems, who actually looked at the statistics during that time and saw that after Monday through Friday morning drive from 6 to 10 a.m., the next most listened to time on the radio was 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays. 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays. Station after station after station has destroyed that experience by running commercials for Mr. Annuity and you, Bitcoin and you, The Gardening Show. Well, the gardening shows are good. But all of that crap hurts the industry. And they need to stop it. And when a station stops running the crap on Saturdays and Sundays, the ratings instantly go up. This is why I love John Katsimatidis, who owns WABC in New York, a station that I have been on frequently, should be on much more frequently, Chad. And it's alive all the time, local, live, all the time. He took it from a one share when it was owned by Cumulus, an amusing company, and owned it himself. He owns it himself. He owns another radio station on Long Island, and he owns WABC. Before that, he owned a very successful chain of supermarkets in the New York metropolitan area, and oddly, for some reason, an oil refinery in Pennsylvania. But maybe he's responsible for the gas in his delivery trucks and therefore makes a fortune. But he loved radio. He loves being on the radio. Puts himself on the radio, and the station goes from an embarrassing one share, WABC New York had a one share, to a four share, and he's always in the top 10. The station's always in the top 10 out of 50 signals that go into New York. Why? because he put on local live programming on the weekends. And me. That's why. And the people who work there are happy. And because he owned a supermarket chain, he feeds them well. Speaking of feeding you well, here is Stephen and Selena with the official Sterling on Sunday, Sterling Every Damn Night Bakery, the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. Right now on Facebook, you have nothing else to do. What are you doing? Right now, if you looked on Facebook, JB as in boy bakery, you would see photos of their feature of the week, which are insane. These are cupcakes that are insane and that I want. And I don't know if I told you this, Stephen. Did I tell you, you were so kind to send me a cherry cobbler? That was the best cherry cobbler I have ever had. It was so good that it was worth me spiking my diabetes sugar number all day. And what was surprising to me is usually cherry cobblers, especially those in New Jersey, are heavy. And your cherry cobbler was really light, surprisingly light. The dough was light and therefore gave me the moral excuse to eat as much as I want.
Walter, I'm really glad you enjoyed that cherry cobbler. I was really hoping it was going to get there one piece. I guess it would have been good even if it was kind of like, you know, a little splattered around, but did you get to heat it up?
I prefer it cold. It's like okay. With apple pie, it's like with apple pie or cherry pie. I know people like to heat them up. Personally, I like them really cold. I've always been that way. Please excuse me.
Well, I use really nice cherries for that, and it was a special dessert that I made for you. I know that you liked that and requested it, so there you go. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Now, you have a beautiful girlfriend named Selena who worked in your shop, and then you crossed the line, took a risk with your fellow employees, and decided to have a personal relationship. Selena, are you still with Steve, or have you moved on?
I am still with Steve, yes. We're actually on vacation visiting my sister right now in Tennessee.
How can that be a vacation for Steve?
Well, it's a vacation for me, so it's fine. I mean, you know, all the stuff he's put you and I through with the radio and all these issues we've had, hopefully I sound okay this week, but, you know, all this stuff, it's okay if it's just a vacation for me, I think.
How old is your sister?
My sister is 19.
And is she in college? What's she doing there? Why aren't you with her parents?
She's married. She's married, and her husband works in the military.
What did she grow up in the Pine Barrens? What do you mean she's 19? At 19, who's she married to?
She's married to her also 19-year-old, soon to be 20-year-old husband. He's in the military, and they live out here on the base. So that's who we're here to see.
What is his service?
He's military police, so like the Army.
Oh, so you can't get away with the damn thing.
Nope.
I mean, military police, not only is that an honor, but it strips them of all humor. Those guys have no sense of humor at all. I mean, you do one goofy thing, I mean, you're going to be in the brig.
It's actually funny because he is a very goofy person. And hopefully, I mean, we're hoping to keep him that way. So we did bring brownies and chocolate cheese pastries just to, you know, keep the energy good when we came in here so that if we made too many jokes, maybe we wouldn't set him off. So I think we're good for now.
And Selena, does your 19-year-old sister work?
No, she doesn't. Not anymore.
She married a guy with steady income and that was it.
Yep, pretty much.
It's very impressive. I have a 19-year-old daughter who is absolutely exhausted and spends the next day in bed after she empties the dishwasher. So to be married to a military man, that's work in itself. When does he get out?
I believe he's done. I think he has 2 more years, maybe 3. And I think he might enlist for another 4 after that, but I'm not sure.
Wow. And share with me, Steve and Selena, what is the hot item at the JB Bakery this week as I tried to digest that two people who are 19 are actually married and have responsibilities. I didn't have any responsibilities till next year. Tell us what's hot at the bakery.
It's going really good this weekend, Walter, with Jersey blueberries. We're still on that kick with the fresh local Jersey blueberries. I actually stuffed oversized donuts with blueberry filling and big, you know, actual blueberries stuffed into a donut with vanilla icing and a buttery oat crumb topping. So it's like eating a blueberry pie, but like in the form of a donut, and it has a crunch to it and it's soft. Then it's also delicious blueberry filling. So those are quite popular. People actually ask for them all year round. I was like, I only make them during blueberry season. So if anybody's local, now's a chance that they could get them at JV Bakery. I'm going to be making them every day, all through the summer. I'm going to make them all summer long. So there's going to be plenty of chances to get them. And they're one of a kind, to tell you the truth. Making a local fruit pastry that's bakery made. It's got a really good response on Facebook as well. And a lot of people are really happy about it, too.
Do you have a recipe for us tonight?
I gave, I sent over to you a recipe for lemon blueberry cookies, which is really good because it's a little different. Most people think, you know, muffins and breads and cakes with blueberries, pancakes, but this is an actual cookie. And plus it has both really good summer, you know, summertime flavors, citrusy with a lemon, and, you know, use local blueberries. It's definitely a nice lemon zest for it, and it's a really nice cookie. So that's what I sent over to you this evening. And Selena really loves them. She was impressed. She never had a lemon blueberry cookie before, and she said I did a good job at it.
All right.
Actually, it's funny. Today's actually National Ice Cream Day, so if you wanted, you could take that cookie and put ice cream in it, make a chipwich kind of ice cream treat to celebrate.
These are brilliant ideas. I am grateful to Stephen and Selena. If you would like the recipe for the lemon blueberry cookie, send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will send it out to you tonight and tomorrow. You'll get it, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And you can get the recipe from the JB Bakery for the blueberry and lemon cookie. All of his recipes are clever and easy, and he gives real baker tips. It isn't like the recipes you get online where somebody either writes some insane psychobabble as to what this means to them in the future or not enough instructions. He gives you exactly the right number of instructions, the right amount of instructions, and the right ingredients to make a successful lemon blueberry cookie. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. All right, this is Sterling on Sunday, and I love being with you. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Junk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Chimichanga or cocaine? Strippers on loose later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the movie Voice Guy.
And they called her Aurora. Sweet Aurora. Yes, they named her after the dawn, for she filled their lives with sunshine.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, live on Sunday night. Sterling every damn night. Yes, I'm on six nights a week. It's unbelievable to everybody in the talk radio industry.
What is he talking about? No politics? What?
There is my friend Mateus, who's a brilliant movie reviewer. And coming up in just seconds, right after you, Mateus, we're going to talk to Donald Trunk. Donald Trunk. What movie have you got for us this week, and is anybody nude?
know, darn it. But they get blown away, in a matter of speaking. Oh. Universal and Warner Brothers have teamed up with Steven Spielberg to bring you Twisters, which is a similar story to Twisters from 1996, made in this version for contemporary audiences. But it's not a remake. It's not a sequel. There's Daisy Edgar Jones's Kate, a retired tornado chaser and meteorologist, that is convinced by an old school friend to come to Oklahoma, where the winds are sweeping down the plains in the form of tornadoes, which may now, according to the movie, be studied with newer technology. Along the way, they find a self-centered promoting cowboy renegade tornado chaser, Tyler, played by Glenn Powell, who with a team of misfits, not midnight misfits, of course, just misfits, that do daring stunts for social media in the heart of the tornado. So it kind of creates an interesting juxtaposition for this legitimate meteorologist. And they have a lot of fun, and there's a lot of cars blown away, buildings wrecked, and they might even find love, these two, in where else? A movie theater before the thing wraps up. It's wrapping up at the box office, too. It's done a tremendous business, $80 million in the last 2 days, which is pretty good for Hollywood recently.
It's pretty good. Does anybody die?
Oh, yes. Well, they're sort of sucked away. You never know what happens, but it can't be good.
No. If a tornado picks you up, it cannot be good, Mateus. Absolutely not. Now, please share with me exactly how we get in touch with you. What's your Facebook page? I want Midnight Misfits to know that they have a soulmate in the entertainment industry.
I thank you. That's Matias Bombal's Hollywood on Facebook, MatiasBombal, Hollywood, like the city, or mabhollywood.com, mabhollywood.com on your web browser.
You're the best. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday at about 54 past the hour. There's Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump is a very powerful and important guy. He happens to be a male entertainer. And he has deep and profound thoughts about Donald, the other Donald. Are you aware of what happened today?
Well, today? Hey, Walter, sorry. Hello.
Hey, no. By the way, you promised me pictures of you, and I got one, but it's just of your back. Will you be sending more pictures of you?
If you want me to, yeah. I wasn't sure if you really cared, but yeah, sure, of course.
I care.
You want more than one?
I want many, and I promise you that Midnight Misfits, who listen to this show religiously because they have nothing else to do, will be fascinated by pictures of Donald Trump, male entertainer, somewhere in California. Now, Yeah, send it to us. What did you hear about today? Do you have a reaction to what you heard about today?
Well, like my driver guy, Frankie Bones, my roommate, he's like the politics guy, but I listen to stuff with him and I talk with him when we're on drives. So it sounds like Joe Biden left. He told me it was going to happen and it did. And so I believe what he says, because usually what he says, just, I hear a lot on the news kind of, but like, I don't really, but what he tells me ends up happening. And so it sounds like, is it Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton now?
I don't know who's going to run with Kamala Harris. If, in fact, President Biden stepped down today, how would you feel about that? How would that affect your life?
Well, so Frankie Bones said that it's going to be Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris has to stay there because all of their money, all of Joe Biden's money, can't go to anybody but Kamala Harris, but Hillary Clinton is going to be either the president or vice president or something. And I don't like it. I just, everything stinks. You know, they obviously shot Donald Trump and that was the worst thing ever. And I mean, I guess maybe not the worst, but it was really bad. I don't know, but it just seems like these people are worse and worse and worse. Like, they make Donald Trump seem like the bad guy, but I don't know. They just, everything's like, but they kept saying that Joe Biden was normal. Everybody could see that he wasn't normal. like he's old and he's got some stuff going on and all that, but everybody kept saying that he was just fine. He wasn't just fine. I could tell that. Like, everybody knew he wasn't just fine. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, he's not just fine. He's got to leave. And I don't know.
How does it affect you? It makes you feel bad.
It does make me feel bad. I know, like, politics and things are, like, they're not very honest regardless, but...
No, like, you know what, Donald Trump is a great male entertainer, a tremendous asset to the show. I need you on this show pretty much every day. You think we can work that out?
Yeah, I can make time for you, Walter. You just ask me. I'll give you a call.
All right, great. Thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter Sterling. More excitement in just seconds.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling, live across the country. Coming up in just seconds, the legendary T.J. Lubinsky has a Little Richard story you won't believe. First, weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, Dave Scott. Dave Scott.
All right, there's Dave Scott, a great broadcaster who we're going to put into syndication and make successful. You watch. Dave Scott is in Canada. We don't know anything about Canada. We just know that they don't make their own cars. They are dependent on us for cars. Now, Dave is an expert on all things UFO and metaphysical and all the things that I personally find fascinating that now that Playboy is out of business. Dave, do you believe that aliens had control, command of the site in Butler, Pennsylvania, where Donald Trump was almost killed?
No, I do not believe aliens had anything to do with the potential assassination of Donald Trump. You know, I mean, the guy may have been an alien, maybe a hybrid that was, you know, his brain went a little bit too twingy on that portion there where he couldn't figure out, you know, right from wrong. But no, I wouldn't blame the Galactic Federation for this one.
Do you believe that that field was swept by alien craft the day before? Do you believe that the field is magnetized and could have affected the trajectory of a bullet?
No, I'm off of that one. You know, I know I wear a lot of tinfoil, Walt, but I can't think that aliens had anything to do with this one. You know, I really can't. I'm sure tinfoil and conspiracy theory had a lot to do with it, but I'm giving the aliens a reprieve right now.
Do you believe the conspiracy theory that as an audience participant, having nothing to do with anything, just there to watch how a rally should work, do you believe Kamala Harris was there in disguise?
She may have been. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people who believe that only reptilians get into the White House disguised as human beings. So we may be looking at a reptilian in human form, but we'd have to do a lot of DNA testing for that, Walt.
How do we get a hold of an alien to do DNA testing?
Well, I mean, that's where we got to figure out what the secrets the government is hiding in regards to this. Remember, they don't want to talk aliens. They don't want to talk UFOs. They want to shut that down, even though members of Congress like Tim Burchett or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Matt Gaetz or anybody wants to talk about this topic, there are many who are trying to deflect this. And my reasoning is they know that your U.S. government is in contact with extraterrestrials. They've probably had the transcripts cross their desks at the Pentagon and at the White House, but they just don't want to tell us who the aliens are.
Dave Scott, a great broadcaster, expert on UFO, metaphysical issues, Bigfoot. Dave, do you have some news for us that you'd like to share, some perspective you'd like to share tonight?
Well, I'm doing something really Canadian right now, Walt, because I know you like it when I play Canada a little bit. Yep. Okay, and that is, I am actually broadcasting to you from a Tim Hortons parking lot where I just got myself a donut and an iced cappuccino. for a late night tonight working on the radio show. But, you know, the big thing that we want to watch out for in big events that happen, like presidential elections or whatever, there always seems to be UFOs flying over. That is something that absolutely intrigues me. When big things happen, UFOs seem to be seen on video over those areas. Example, when Russia first started invading the Ukraine, within 5 days of that happening, there were black triangles spotted along the Russia and Ukrainian border. When the incident in Israel happened, within 2 days of that, there were black triangles and strange craft seen in the sky above Israel and the Gaza Strip. Now, a lot of people will say maybe this is American technology that we don't know about that is spying on these areas, which it could very well be. But because we are the greatest, the most fantastic, and the most loving reality TV show that the aliens watch called Planet Earth, The Saga, maybe it's the aliens actually checking out how we're being stupid on this planet towards ourselves.
Do you believe, as some movies have suggested, that although they can travel in time and physically and over the speed of light, do you believe it's possible that these aliens who are endlessly visiting us don't actually have weapons? And maybe that's why they don't make themselves appear, because they're afraid of being killed. Maybe they don't have weapons.
Oh, I think they have weaponry, some of them. That I believe. The question is, we don't know how many different species of aliens are visiting this planet. That's the big one. How many different species are visiting? Some of them probably do not have any. Others, maybe it is like Independence Day, where they're ready to hover over the big towers of the United States, that these big, beautiful buildings, whether it's the Ford building, the Chrysler building, the Empire State building, or whatever it may be, maybe they have the ability to do that. But I do believe that it's something that I do not want to take a chance on, because if they have the technology to get here, I'm pretty sure that they have weaponry much more significant than nuclear weapons.
And Dave Scott, great Canadian broadcaster, good friend of Sterling on Sunday and Sterling every damn night, who will be syndicated throughout North America because of the law of attraction. How do I get in touch with you tomorrow?
SpacedOutRadio.com or give us a follow on YouTube.
Thank you, Dave Scott. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up in just seconds, an amazing Little Richard story from the great entertainer, the brilliant fundraiser, and astonishing concert producer, T.J. Lubinsky. Yes, that guy you see on public television when you watch those oldies shows. Those oldies shows when you say to your kids, oh, that happened way before I was born. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Junk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart, later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
Chimichanga or cocaine? Strippers on loose later. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Get away from me, you crumb.
All right, there's T.J. Lubinsky, the legendary T.J. Lubinsky. I think we needed to run more commercials and more PSAs before you, but that's the best we could do, T.J. Welcome to Sterling.
Hey,
every
can
day
I just,
night.
Walter, can I just tell you, I hate to disagree with Dave Scott, but I'm only 5 minutes away from Butler. You know that, right?
Yes, but I'm sure the rest of America is not, so please share.
And as I look out the window, there's a flying, what looks like a phone. No, it's a British police box in the sky. What, or is it it could be a Dalek cruiser. I don't know. Just letting you know.
How do you feel about the new Doctor Who?
I like it, but you know, Tom Baker's my guy, and he'll always be my guy, and there's no other guy than Tom Baker. But it's nice to see it evolve, and, you know, my son loves it. He watches it with me every week, so that's cool.
I think they make us wait too long between seasons.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, but this guy who runs it, he's a smart, smart guy. He's got plans. He knows what he's doing. And it's a bit, you know, like a Star Wars kind of franchise thing or a Star Trek. He's going to take it in a million different places for new generations and, you know, more power to him. Good guy. A guy named Russell T. Davies. Good guy.
T.J. Lubinsky is the brilliant producer behind the concerts that you love on public television. The oldies, the 80s, the 70s, the disco, all of the concerts. The prime money-raising tool of public television. Without
The Robert Goulet show. Don't forget Robert Goulet. Did a Goulet show.
Who could forget that? Steve Lawrence.
Steve was great. I love Steve E, but, you know, Goulet.
Anyway, he produces these amazing concerts. He produces them, believe it or not, and does all the editing in his home in a suburb of Pittsburgh. He now has the largest estate in Pittsburgh. And it's because of his genius. But if it wasn't for his concerts on public television, they'd be out of business. He's the prime money raiser for public television. You don't think they get that money from the three tenors. They get it from T.J. Lubinsky's concerts. But you teased me. You were very generous and let me take a glimpse of a book that you're working on that shares the experience of putting together these shows and your life. But then you teased me by saying, gee, I thought I'd hear from you about the Little Richard story. And now I'd like to hear from you about the Little Richard story.
Well, you know, thank you. I haven't gotten the book out yet. I'm working on about 12 more chapters. And it's really just an overview of all these years, 28 years or so of doing these television specials and a lot of the stuff that happens behind the scenes that I can't say on TV, but I could say on the Walter Sterling Show.
Anything.
So basically, we had Richard on a show, and he couldn't have been more fabulous. I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful guy. He knew my grandfather. He was very into gospel. My grandfather used to have the record label, Savoy Records, out of Newark, New Jersey. So it was all the big gospel greats and jazz greats. And so he was very familiar, and he collected the records. So he gave me a big hug when he came over. He said, oh, I'm so excited. I'm doing this for you because I loved Herman and what he did. And I'm, you know, anything you want, I'm here. And what? So in his agreement, he was only supposed to do three songs. And so I think it was like Tutti Frutti. It wasn't Tutti Frutti. It was Good Golly Miss Molly. I was pushing for Tutti Frutti. Rip It Up and one other of his, you know, he could choose one of his hits. And so, you know, he said anything you want. Anything you want, Lubinsky, I will do for you. And I said, okay, well, how about, you know, can I ask you again? Would you do Tutti Frutti for me? He says, I love you. I love you. I love everything about you. But I don't know if I can do that. And I said, come on, Richard. This is, you know, for posterity here. I'm sure you could do this. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Jesus about it personally. And I'll talk to Jesus. I'll let you know what Jesus says. So I'm hopeful. I'm crossing my fingers because, you know, we knew he was going to get on a piano in a glittery outfit and he was going to wreck the top of the piano, which he did, to the tune of about $10,000 to have it resurfaced. And he got up, he tells the audience, shut up, which was his thing. He liked to tell everybody to shut up. That was part of his act. And, you know, it was a wonderful thing, but there was a little intermission. It was a break, and he was going to come back for the encore. So the encore starts to come out, and I'm on the wings of the stage at the old Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh, Benedum Center. I said, Richard. He said, yeah, man. I love you. I love that. This is so great. I said, Richard, did you talk to Jesus for me? He said, oh, I talked to Jesus all about you. Jesus and I talked 3 hours about you. Then nothing. He just kind of looks the other way. And I said, Richard, what did Jesus say? He said, oh, Jesus said he loves you and he loves everything you're doing. But Jesus said, no. No. He said, tell him no Tutti Frutti.
And so I guess he found out that you're Christian and Jewish.
Yeah, Methodist and Jewish. But he said he really talked to him, and you know they both loved
and that
what
was
we're
it.
Doing to keep the music alive.
And they wouldn't, but and he wouldn't it. Do it. He wouldn't do it.
He absolutely refused to do it, but he did do, you know, another B-side, something called Send Me Your Lovin', which I love by him. It was a great slow record, but, you know, it's one of those great memories, and so many of those great artists are gone now, but thankfully we still have them on television and through the other stuff that we're doing, you know?
T.J. Lubinsky, the great producer of the concerts that you love on public television. Now, T.J. has been really kind to this show. And from time to time, he has been the guest star host of the show, does a killer job. He forced Dave LaBrosse into retirement. And
I'm sure that's true.
I'm sure it's true, actually.
It's Dave funny, I never heard from him after that show.
No, he's deep in the woods in a trailer in Pennsylvania.
Now I know why. I think I may have killed him. It's possible.
Yeah.
It's
in the Pennsylvania wilds, the worst place in America. Now, listen, I don't know if you saw a note I sent, and you do not commit to it now. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but soon I'm going to go on vacation. And on a Friday night, for you on WPHT in Philadelphia to do a Cameo Parkway special would be insanely great for you.
Oh, that
to,
would be terrific. Plus, you know, plus it was, I mean, because of what happened at Cameo Parkway and Dave Apple, all those guys, you know, that really was the birth of what became the Philly sound and, you know, touched everybody's hearts. And it all started right there in the Reco Arts building there. Great, great place, great people, great stories.
Well, and the other great thing is if you do that on WPHT, you'd have the option of doing it from WPHT, which is the most insanely gorgeous radio station I have ever seen. So for losers like you and me, radio geeks, it's like, oh my gosh, you won't believe it.
Well, for Philadelphia too, you know, I'm still very downhearted because, you know, one of my dearest friends in the world was the late great, and I truly mean those words together, Jerry Blavitt, you know, the geeter with the heater.
Yes.
And he, you know, he meant so much to young people and young music and not doing format radio, but just really doing rhythm and blues and Motown and doo-wops and all that. And his office is just not that far from there on Market Street. And he's been in my thoughts a lot lately, Philadelphia and what he did for Philadelphia. And I think Akili and his family, of course, it'd be great to do something all about that time. And you know, High Lit, another, you know, Harvey Holiday, Tommy McCarthy, all those guys. Those were all heroes of mine. Georgie Woods, Jocko Henderson. Yeah,
Tommy and Harvey are very much alive and would be very excited to be on the phone with you, I'm sure. I have to go do other things, but TJ, it's a great honor. Thank you on no notice for doing this. I knew you'd be spectacular. I love the Little Richard story, and I really loved your book. I can't wait till you finish it, and I can promote the hell out of it far more than Bruce Morrow will ever do. Got it?
I love you, Walt.
All right, I love you too. Thanks very much for being on Sterling Every Damn Night. Look at this. It's a live radio show. And coming up, you and I are going to talk about the incredible dangers and misunderstandings about this process that President Biden has started of early withdrawal. Early withdrawal is a complex issue, and we will deal with that in a not painful way. But did you hear, you know, when the news came out that the president said, well, you know, I'm going to withdraw because I'm sick or I'm tired or whatever. Can you imagine what the sound was in the Fox News newsroom?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I mean, it must have been insane. I can't believe we were lucky enough to capture that audio. But that's what it sounded like in the Fox News newsroom. They're still twittering. They still can't sit still. They're like, oh, my God, we are 4,000 years of programming.
They want you to believe that the Secret Service had nothing to do with the attempted assassination of Trump, just like they want you to believe that jet fuel caused the Twin Towers to explode.
They keep saying he's a threat to democracy.
10 years of OK
radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
When you go to the Gentleman's Club frequently, you want to party. You want to have a very nice time. And one of those things in a nice time can be, well, nose candy, blow, toot. Yes, I'm talking about cocaine. And there was some cocaine dealing going on in the parking lot of a Mexican restaurant right next door to Gentleman's Club Strip Club in Charlotte. One of Charlotte's famous strip clubs. And again, a lot of times people go to a strip club to enjoy the nose candy. And apparently an undercover detective had been buying cocaine on a frequent, on the reg, as the kids would say, from some feller named Jose Ramos. And Jose and his group of cocaine dealing goons got popped. Detective Rodriguez, he's our hero in this story. He pretended to be down with the drug game, and they liked him. And they liked him a lot as he was undercover until, of course, they got popped. Strip clubs, frequently there is drug use involved. Now, a lot of times not inside the club as per se, except for maybe the bathroom. Or the dressing area where the dancers are. Frequently, it happens in the parking lot where quickly people will have a smoke, a toke, they'll have a snort, and they'll go on in and enjoy the wonderful world of the dancers. Quite frankly, because of how expensive getting a drink is at the Gentleman's Club, you know, frequently a lot of people just sit there and go, let me have a few before I go in. Unless you go to one of those clubs that has the two-drink minimum. The two-drink minimum places generally do not have the biggest cover charge, so perhaps Gentleman's Club Strip Club has a modest cover charge. Or it's free to come in! Come in with your cocaine and a smile! From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
Styling on Sunday, Kindle in Vegas, the Fetish Queen. The Fetish Queen.
There's Aviva Vegas. Welcome, Kendall. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. What do you have to report?
Hey, thanks for having me, Walter.
Hey.
Well, I am reporting that, wow, your show is phenomenal tonight. I have heard so many amazing guests. Oh, my goodness, Walter. What a spectacular show.
None will be as amazing as you are about to be. No one comes close to the Queen of Vegas who will captivate the audience in a way that no one else can.
Wow. Thank you.
It's a radio fact, Kendall.
Well, I really appreciate it. You're the sweetest.
Yes, I am the sweetest. Why do I hear myself? Why do I hear myself? You have something on in the background, or did you just turn it off?
No, there's nothing. There's nothing. It's just me and no radio on.
Kendall? Do you have any news about your incoming wedding or any fetish information or anything else that we can use to get a 10 share?
Well, I have been out and about. I have been away from Las Vegas, and I've been in L.A., Walter.
How is that? Do you want to move there?
No. I do not want to move there, but I really enjoy going there.
I love L.A. L.A. is my favorite place to arrive in and my favorite place to leave.
Well, when I was headed there, I ran into somebody who, he was really, really nice. Well, you know when you sit next to somebody on the plane and you start talking with them?
So Never, but go ahead. Never, but go ahead. For 5 hours, I'll sit next to somebody at 12 inches apart and never say one word to them. But that's just me, Kendall, whereas you're far more outgoing and not an introvert like I am.
Oh, well, I noticed the man next to me was like 7 feet tall, and he was very uncomfortable. He was practically doing the splits right next to me, and he had the person in front of him, their chair was leaned back a little bit, and he had his legs wide open. And I just, at one point, I just looked at him and I said, "You must be just so uncomfortable." And that broke the conversation in, and we started chatting. And he was from Philadelphia.
Fantastic. What did you learn?
Yes, so we started. Well, I learned lots of things. I specifically learned about the Poconos. Am I saying that right?
Yes, the
Pinocchios.
The Poconos. You're correct.
Yeah, so he told me all about those, and he had just gone to a family reunion in Lake Tahoe with all of his siblings. And so he was telling me about Philadelphia and growing up there, and then he started showing me all these pictures on his phone of the wildlife in his backyard, and it was a great conversation. And then I started telling him all about you and your show. So you've got a new listener tonight, Walter.
He wasn't repulsed when you told him what it was about, which is nothing. Absolutely
not at all.
All right, good. Listen, Kendall, it's an honor to have you on. I hope you'll be on again this week. And next time you're on, when I know you're going to sneak up on us, I will book it in a way that you can have endless time. Would you like that?
Oh, I would love that. And definitely stay tuned, you guys, for my next segment. I've got lots of juicy stuff from L.A., including the big Sanctum Party, which is the most elite sex club in the world, Walter. So we'll talk about that next time.
Oh, my God. Aviva Vegas delivering ratings. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every damn night. Why? Why do I have to do that? Why didn't you tell me I had to go for another minute 2 minutes ago? Why didn't you tell me that? Never an answer. That's the best thing about it. There's never an answer.
Stand on Sunday and every day of life.
Now, you know, the worst thing that could possibly happen is if you withdraw and expect that to fix the problem. That's the worst thing.
Like when I was in a relationship with a male, I used a condom in the beginning, but after that, I didn't use it anymore. And basically, I wasn't using a condom, and he'll, you know, and pull out. He'll pull out.
Pulling out is a bad way to do it. And that's what our president showed us today, that pulling out too late is not the answer. That's what we learned.
Like when I was in a relationship with a male, I used a condom in the beginning, but after that, I didn't use it anymore. And basically, I wasn't using a condom, and he'll, you know, and pull out. He'll pull out.
That's the risk. Pulling out is not the method. Pulling out too late, which is what our president has done, is not going to result in his clownish friends owning the office. Won't happen. All right. You can be in touch with me, WalterMSterling@gmail, WalterMSterling@gmail. I have a spectacular website, thanks to Lee Harris, president of News Nation, Walter Sterling Show. And there you'll find out everything about this show, and you'll also be able to download and print out your Midnight Misfit membership card. It has a decoder on it, and from time to time I give secret messages that you can only decode with that. But the best thing about the Midnight Misfit membership card is finally you're a member of something. Finally you're accepted. And it lists what you got to do to be a Midnight Misfit and what you cannot do as a Midnight Misfit. WalterSterlingShow.com. You're driving your 18-wheeler. You're going across the country. This is the best time of day. Isn't this the best time? That glow from your dashboard is just right. The temperature in the cabin is exactly where it needs to be. There's a love stop up there, and you can get the best coffee possible. This is who we are. We own the night, and that is the best kingdom in North America. All right, this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Gunk in the aisleway. And we're not talking about the items. People at Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain how the NYPD handles security when the President of the United States comes to town. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
tonight and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Sniper Wolf.
Hello, friends, it's me. Yes, I cut my hair. TikTok saw it first. I always wanted to cut my hair, so I did.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Tangled in His Possession. By the time they reached their final destination, the sky had grown dark. Steps to Lucy's apartment beckoned them inside, and the wooden boards creaked beneath her sneakers as she fought the urge to drag him up them faster. He closed and locked the door behind them, then turned around to face him. The dim light in her kitchen did nothing to conceal his hungry gaze roaming over her from head to toe. She remembered the raw passion of the first time he'd given in to her advances and tried not to squirm beneath his scrutiny. "I don't want to play games tonight," she said, her voice low. Zeke brushed the loose strands of hair away from his face. "I do appreciate how you always get right to the point." She kicked off her sneakers and nudged them into the corner with her foot. When she brushed by him to lead him farther into the apartment, he swore she could hear sparks crackle between them. "Come on, bedroom's this way." Moonlight trickled in through the slats in the blinds, and she didn't bother turning on any of the lamps when she entered the room. As soon as he crossed the threshold behind her, Lucy dove into his waiting arms, sliding one hand behind his neck to guide his lips toward hers. The heat emanating from his body made her dizzy with lust as he kissed her with the intensity she'd come to adore, yet never grew tired of. She couldn't remember the last time a man had made her feel so desired, so special. While she playfully engaged his tongue with hers, she let her hands drift down his sides, coming to rest at the waistband of his shorts. Grabbing his belt, she yanked him closer, giggling against his mouth. One of his hands slipped beneath her tank top, his palm flattening against her back as he held her tight. The idea of him touching more and more of her sent a flood of arousal pulsing through her core. She didn't know how much longer she could wait. Breaking the kiss, she inched backward and tugged at the bottom of his shirt. Her heavy breaths escaped through parted lips, making her wordless inquiry as she gazed into his eyes. Zeke followed her command and pulled the shirt off over his head, tossing it to the side. Honey-colored curls sprinkled his broad chest, and she trailed a finger through them, smiling at her first unobstructed view of him. He took her hand and pressed it to his lips, raising his eyebrows when he released her. She, too, took her cue and reached for the hem of her tank top. As it floated to the floor, she sat on the edge of the bed and leaned back. Zeke stood in front of her, just out of reach. His throat bobbed as he swallowed. "You look incredible." She motioned for him to join her, but he stepped away. Removing his glasses, he carefully folded them and set them atop her dresser. The mattress squeaked when he sat beside her, and she caressed his cheek. "There's something else you forgot," she said, biting her lower lip. "Hmm?" Lucy reached behind him and located the elastic band holding his hair in place. She gave it a gentle pull, and golden blonde waves cascaded to his shoulders. As she placed the elastic on the nightstand, she marveled at how different he looked. a sight just for her. He reclaimed her mouth in another ardent kiss, nudging her backward until they lay side by side atop the covers. She inched closer, desperate to feel more of him. His palm skimmed from the swell of her hip over her ribcage, grazing the underside of her chest. Her clothes felt too tight, too uncomfortable, and she needed to relieve some of the heat building inside her. As if reading her thoughts, he undid the clasp at her back with nimble fingers. She allowed him to slide the bra down her arms and cast it aside, then flattened her body against his as her tongue delved into his mouth. His lips didn't stay on hers much longer, though, as he broke away to kiss a trail down the side of her neck. Lucy's back arched as he dragged his lips over her sensitive skin. His hand returned to her chest, and she trembled as he fondled her curves. Feathery kisses dotted the top of her chest, each one igniting a blazing path straight down between her legs. Oh, I think I'd better stop there for tonight before I get in trouble. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, Tangled in His Possession, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
That was this week's Walter Sterling Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
My classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.